welcome everybody. Let me give a shout out to the mothers. Happy Mother's Day again and again. I have a message that I would like to share for mothers, for ladies, mothers-to-be. The title of this message is A Woman of Worth. A Woman of Worth. I just welcome everybody, especially our guest. We're so pleased that you would be with us today. I want to share this story at the beginning. And men, if you're here, this message still will apply to us. But I want to encourage you that let's learn how, if you're not good at it, to honor and show respect to your mothers if you're blessed to have them around, if they're still alive. For many years, I confess, as a young, self-centered man, I neglected my mother and did not always honor her as I should. But when I became a Christian, the Holy Spirit has been patiently teaching me more and more how to do that. So I just encourage you to honor them. This story is taken from the Confessions of Augustine. I have shared bits and pieces of this story over the years. I find it fascinating. As I began to prepare this message, I immediately thought of Monica, the mother of Augustine. Now, Augustine would have lived back in the 400 ADs, a long time ago. But what fascinates me about history, world history, is these were men and women just like us. They dressed differently than us. It was a different age, a different culture, but they were real men and real women. They had real moms. This is the story of Monica and her love for her son, Augustine, who became one of the great theologians and scholars and church fathers. We know the story of Augustine as it comes to us in his book, The Confessions. It tells us the story of Augustine and the quote-unquote hound of heaven. That's God. You've heard me often comment about how God, through the Holy Spirit, hunts us down in a loving way. He pursues us. We don't really pursue him. He's pursuing us through the Holy Spirit. So Augustine refers to God as the hound of heaven in a godly way, who's tracking down Augustine and bringing Augustine to himself. This book also had some other characters in it, and one of those characters in his book was about his mother Monica. If God is the hound of heaven, then maybe Monica is the earthly counterpart to that. She's the hound on earth who tracks down Augustine. In the Confessions, Augustine moves around a lot. I think he does that on purpose. But there's also a theological meaning to all of his moving around and running. He's illustrating that wandering that we all do. It goes back to the garden when we were kicked out of our home and we went east of Eden. And we just kept going east and east and east. And so this is Augustine wandering around. But his mother always manages to track him down. In fact, at one point, I think Augustine even leaves in the middle of the night. No forwarding address, nothing. But somehow Monica, his mother, manages to track him down. She made it her mission on earth to be the one who would just constantly pray for her son, Augustine. In fact, at one point, the Confessions, Monica says, there was only one reason and one reason alone why I wished to remain a little longer in this life. It was to see you, she says to her son, Augustine, to see you become a Christian. Well, this mother lived to see those prayers answered. Augustine did become a Christian there in Milan, Italy. And Augustine and his mother decided they would travel back to North Africa where he lived. And it was before their return trip that Monica, his mother, his godly mother, passed away. She passed away after seeing her son reconciled to God. And it's just a beautiful story about the power of prayer and the power of a praying mother. And I wanted you to hear that story and maybe encourage you to pick it up and read it. Title of this message, as I mentioned, A Woman of Worth. What does it mean to be a woman of worth? And the last thing that I want to do in this message on a woman of worth is to make anyone feel bad in any way that they have somehow missed the mark. As I've said often, we have all missed the mark. And thank God for His grace and mercy that forgives us and cleanses us and welcomes us into His family. What does it mean to be a woman of worth? It does not mean doing more to earn it. It's not looking better and better on the outside. It's not acting nicer. It's knowing the Lord Jesus as a woman. It's being known by the Lord. That is what makes a woman of worth, being in a right relationship with God. The world and its wisdom tells a woman, well, you got to keep looking younger, you got to look better, you got to do more, and then maybe you're of some worth. But that's not God. That's not what God's perspective is. I want to start out in the Gospel of Luke, and I want to share these verses with you. They've stood out to me over the years, and I hope that you can ponder them and think about them concerning women in ministry, women's place in the church, how God views women, and what makes a woman of worth. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 and following says this. Soon afterward, he, Jesus, went through the cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and we know the 12 to be men. And also it says, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many other women who provided for Jesus and the 12 disciples out of their own means. That stood out to me. Jesus, at a time when women were not valued and considered worthy much more than cattle or sheep, Jesus began to elevate women and place worth on them. But I believe that value and worth comes when women come into a right relationship and know Jesus personally and are known by Him, as many of you ladies have come to experience. And we need to carry that message on to more ladies, more young women, that their value and worth is in a right relationship first and foremost with God Almighty. Would you agree? Can I hear an amen? On Mother's Day, I want to make sure that you're with me and alive. Luke 24 says this, and I'm going to start in verse 1. Again, a woman of worth. On the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking spices they had prepared, and they found this stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. See, I'm the type of minister, I don't want to just read these scriptures on Easter. They should be read all the time, and we should ponder them, not just at Easter. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened, they bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women, the women that I spoke of in Luke 8, that spoke these words to the disciples, the 12. But these words seemed to them as idle tale, and they did not believe the women. But isn't it interesting that here the Lord Jesus Christ and God in a sovereign wisdom chose to reveal himself risen from the dead first and foremost to these women? A woman of worth that knows God and fears the Lord is something that we should aspire to. I want to give you a little of Spurgeon. I'm going to call him Spurgeon's sound bites. I read from Spurgeon in my devotionals almost every morning for years and years. I appreciate him, his wisdom, his love for God. He wrote this, and I quote, "If we do not think of him secretly, we will not obey him openly." If we do not think of him or on him secretly throughout our days, this goes for men and women. If we do not think of him secretly, we will not obey him openly, and we will not proclaim him and speak of him openly. Is that too deep? No. The meaning there is, where are your thoughts? Are they on the Lord throughout the day? If they are, we will find ourselves obeying and having a desire to obey the Lord more openly and also speak of him to others. The main text that I would like to share with us today is taken from a very famous portion of Scripture that is often shared during and around Mother's Day. And it's Proverbs chapter 31. As many of you know, we have been going through Proverbs called Pondering the Proverbs. And I want to just briefly read and comment on Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. "What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women and your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine and for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing, wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute and for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth and judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." A mother's advice to her son the king. We don't know a whole lot about King Lemuel, so I won't speculate too much on him, but it seems like he had a godly mother that certainly had godly advice, and God, in his sovereign wisdom, included this in the canon of Scripture. I remember telling you, some of you, a story years ago. It was a story that I first shared when I was doing my son's graduation message at his school. I was invited to speak, and I believe I shared this story. So it was years ago. And it was a story of a woman and her son, a mother and her son, down in Florida, and this happens quite a bit. But her son was swimming in a pond there in Florida, which is not always a wise idea. And sure enough, a gator came up and grabbed the son. I believe he was an adolescent, maybe 12 or 13, and grabbed the son and began to drag him back in. And then, of course, you know how the gators begin to twirl their prey and disorient them and drown them. And the mother, who was in the house, heard the screams of her son, and she comes running out, and she grabs hold of her son by the arm, and the gator is on the other end, and a tug of war commences. And the mother won. And she told the story, and afterwards the son healed up, and he not only had scars on his leg from the gator, but he forever has the scars from his mother's fingernails in his hands and arms and wrist, not letting go. She was desperate, and she would fight to the death to save her son. And it's a beautiful picture of a mother's love and commitment to her child, and the physical fight, but I think even more importantly, as some of you mothers have experienced, the spiritual battle that goes on for your children. And some of us that are younger that haven't experienced a family or having children, it's a unique battle that is lifelong, and praying for your child and grandchildren spiritually when so much is warring against them. So this mother of King Lemuel, her son, she opens up by saying three times, and how my mother has repeated this to me when I was a young boy, "What are you doing? What are you doing, my son? What are you doing?" And she says this, and I believe there is endearment, affection, and concern that is coming out from this mother in wanting to offer advice to her son. "What are you doing, son of my womb and son of my vows?" A mother, if you're blessed, you carry a child within your womb for 9 months before that child is brought out into the world. You have a connection with your children or child in a way that men do not. And so she's speaking with great affection and endearment to her son. "What are you doing, my son? Son of the womb, son of my vows that I made to your father before we had children." So three pieces of advice that stick out to me here that I just would like to submit to you in light of this message today. Number one, verse 3, she says, "Do not give your strength to women." As a woman herself, she knows the danger that is out there. Not that all women are dangerous, but women can certainly lead a man astray and vice versa. So she gives this advice. Don't give your strength to women. Don't be running from one woman to another. Make a commitment with God's help to one woman and to be faithful is what she, I believe, is saying. We remember Potiphar's wife and how she went after to seduce Joseph, and Joseph fled. Who knows that Joseph may have had the words of his mother ringing in the back of his mind. Not only mom's advice, but God's advice to live and walk in the fear of God. A mother should be reminding her children of that. The second piece of advice that stood out to me in verses 4 through 7. Learn the disciplined life is what this mother is telling her son, the king. The disciplined life. Don't allow yourself to become a glutton to food, to drink, or to anything else. Be a man of discipline. Learn discipline, she is saying. We've all heard the old adage, wine, women, and song. The downfall of many great and powerful men. Wine, women, and song. Learn the disciplined life is what this mother is saying to her son. And being a woman of worth, we should be praying and advising our children to do the same. And the third piece of advice that she offers to her son, the king, verses 8 and 9, I find interesting that this would be added here. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. In other translations, it says, open your mouth for those who cannot speak up for themselves, the poor, the needy, for others. She's advising her son, use your position of influence in a right way. Don't just think of yourself. Life is bigger than just you. And she advises her son, speak up for those. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. That's important advice. I think at times like this, if my dear mother, who hasn't been with us for months, and she is a member of our church. She's 86 years old now, and she has come to love the Lord. She loves her church, and she has taught me so much. I know she doesn't think like this, and I think a lot of mothers might struggle with your failures, how you've missed the mark, and as she hears me tell stories of my rebellious teenage days, she always says, I was such a bad mother. She wasn't a bad mother. And you are not bad mothers. This young man, when I was a young man, I was rebellious. I was a rebellious teenager. I did not listen well. And I caused much pain to my mother and father in my young days. But she has taught me much about kindness and compassion and love. And yes, I know I have a long ways to go, but she has exemplified that in her lifestyle of showing kindness and compassion and love and much more. I mean, here's an 86-year-old woman who still loves to come over to our house like yesterday and iron my shirts for me. And I turn on the Golf Channel, and because she, if you think I'm crazy about sports, you should meet my mother. She's got to watch all the golf. She's got to watch college basketball. She's got to watch the Indians, and that's how I was raised. We were just always into that, and she still loves to do that. And she's, whenever she's with us, her phone's always ringing. Even though she says, you know, she's alone, she's always getting phone calls from her grandchildren from all over the United States and sometimes different parts of the world. Her grandchildren esteem her and respect her, and rightly so. I want to finish up by reading the rest of Proverbs to us and commenting on the rest of these verses here. I think it's a beautiful chapter on a woman of worth. So starting in verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The hearts of her husband trust in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchants. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the times to come. Another way to say that is she's not intimidated or fearful of the days to come. She has confidence. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teachings of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. We'll stop there. A woman of worth. A woman of worth. And again, I read these not that there would be even a hint of condemnation in anyone's life. The scriptures make it clear, and it's one of my favorite scriptures and promises from God that I remind myself that there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So don't allow the enemy of God, Satan, to condemn you for faults or mistakes that you've made. We all have made them. Verses 10 through 16, it speaks of a woman of great worth, her husband and her children and her extended community sees that she is a woman of great worth. Her husband and children and community see this and trust in her and what she has done. Her husband trusts in her and has confidence in this woman of worth. Second point that I want to stress in verse 17, this woman of worth works out a lot. She works out a lot. She's got strong arms, it says. So she may go to the gym a lot, I don't know. She dresses herself with strength, verse 17, and makes her arms strong. Again, I don't think that that's so much the physical aspect of that. But sometimes we as men, we need to stop looking at the waist and look at the arms of the woman. I have written here in my notes, Wonder Woman of Worth. She has strong arms. She dresses herself with strength. She makes her arms strong. She's industrious. Verse 25 says, strength and dignity are her clothing. Strength and dignity. Where does this strength and dignity come from? I don't think it comes from working out, looking into a mirror, and having your own personal trainer. Strength and dignity that makes a woman of worth comes from your relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. Strength and dignity comes from your right relationship with God. It helps you to be a woman of great worth and value, not only to humanity, but in the sight of the Lord. The third point, verse 18, it says, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. So I have written here in my notes, she sleeps with the lights on. She has a night light on all the time. She's always industrious. She's reaching out. She's working. She's a hard-working woman of worth. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. This is something that we all can grow in, especially women of worth. Verse 20, it speaks of, she opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. This is highlighted numerous times in this chapter. She's not just thinking of herself. She's not just thinking of her own family members, but also as a woman of worth. In her relationship with God, she has learned to be concerned and considerate of the needy around. That's to be commended. She reaches out to them, helps them, and I believe this also implies that she speaks up on their behalf, a woman of worth. And I will say this again and again, oh, how we need women of worth to rise up and to speak up. And I'm always praying for my brothers that we certainly need men to rise up. And you'll get your due on Father's Day. But we need women of worth that out of their relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ are speaking up and reaching out at these times. You have great influence. Verses 28 through 29, her children and husband recognize her qualities, rise up and praise her for her works. Her children and husband call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. They see for what she has done. And again, no woman does it perfectly, but we as men need to be able to recognize what our wives are doing and praise them privately for the most part and publicly. I've been blessed with my dear wife, Karen, for 43 years of marriage. She has put up with me. And she's learning how to love me. She has birthed and raised 7 children, 4 boys and 3 girls, which was not an easy venture at all on a pastor's income. She's been blessed with 12 grandchildren. When our children were old enough in schools and had moved on, she, out of her own desire, wanted to help out with our income and our family, and she began to deliver newspapers throughout Chardon and Geauga County before the snow plows were plowing in Chardon. And some of you know what the snow is like. She delivered newspapers for about 5 years. when she got tired and worn out of that, she began to clean people's homes 3 days a week for the next 15 years. This past Friday was her last day, and we had a celebration for her. But she is a hardworking, faithful woman. But more than anything, what stands out is her love for God, her allegiance to the Lord, her devotion to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ changed her life. And if it were not for the Lord in our marriage, we would not have made it. We would not have made it. You know how difficult marriage is. I've heard some sisters in Christ comment to Karen, "Oh, you keep a nice house because you like to clean." And she laughs and I laugh because we have yet to meet a woman that really likes to clean. She just does it because she had to do it. But I thank God for my wife. Verses 29-31 of Proverbs 31. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. And then it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A woman who learns to fear the Lord, who has reverence and awe for Almighty God, she is to be praised. I want to share this story with us as we close. This is written from my dear friend Lud Goltz, who has often stood here and preached. Lud himself is over 80 years of age, and he was born and raised in British Columbia. Very meager means when he grew up there from a German ancestry. His parents came over from Germany and settled in Canada there. And he writes about his mother, and we've had talks about his parents and his rough upbringing. He wrote this. He said, "My mother never went to school in her entire life, but she knew Jesus as her Savior and Lord from the time that she was 16 years of age. She had a very rough life as a child, and when she trusted in Christ as her Savior, her mother, her own mother, threatened her with her life. She experienced painful persecution, but God wonderfully sustained her. She shared many of her faith stories with us as children. And as we married and had children, she made time and created suitable settings to share her faith stories with her grandchildren. Before she died at the age of 86, she had the joy of doing the same with her great-grandchildren. When she was given a Bible after her baptism as a teenager, never having gone to school, she realized she would need to learn how to read to appreciate the Bible. She prayed that God would help her and teach her, and God did. Without the help of others, she learned how to read, and she knew the Bible well, and she shared what she knew with her family. Most importantly, she lived what she knew and the nitty-gritty circumstances of daily life." Here's Lud Goltz, a friend of mine in his 80s. He has learned how to honor his mother. And his mother's influence on Lud's life, who Lud himself became a minister, who has preached all over the world and has led countless people to Christ personally and privately and in meetings. This comes from his mother, his believing mother. Oh, what influence a woman of worth has. Don't ever entertain the lies of the world that says you have nothing to offer unless you're a beautiful model or a celebrity or a great athlete. I don't believe that for a minute, and I know God's word tells us otherwise. Ladies, your value and worth do not come by your looks or body type. It comes from being in right relationship with the Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. I've said that. I'll repeat it over and over again for men and women. Let this promise be secure in your hearts and minds. Remind yourself of this truth. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. When we are in right relationship with God, the enemy cannot bring condemnation. And we should not entertain that. When we're in right relationship with God, He begins to put that desire in our hearts to live for Him and to honor Him rightly. So I say to you, mothers, ladies, mothers-to-be, a sincere happy Mother's Day to you. In 2 Timothy, and I promise this will be my last verse for today, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul, speaking to his young protege, Timothy, a young minister of God, a pastor, he writes this, "I am reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well." I would be hard-pressed to stand before you and say that these people or this group of people have greater influence than a mother. A mother can influence a child and help make a disciple for Christ. A mother can influence grandchildren and influence them to Christ. So I say to mother today, impart a legacy of faith. Point people to Jesus. This is the greatest thing that we can do, pointing people to Jesus, leaving a legacy of faith like Lois did and Eunice, their influence on young Timothy. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. We'll get you out of here so you can get to your Mother's Day dinners or brunches, whatever, and free meals from your husbands and sons and daughters. Thank you for hearing these words. I pray that you would consider them and ponder them in your heart and live by them. Lord, we thank you for your tender mercies that are new every day. Lord, I thank you that you, as Augustine said, are like a hound from heaven. You pursue us, men and women. You hunt us down because of your great love for us, not wanting any to perish, but for all to come to salvation and eternal life. Lord, we would be honored if you would use us in any way to influence others to Christ, to leave a legacy of faith to our children and grandchildren. I speak your blessings, Lord God, upon the ladies that are here today, especially the mothers, Lord God, a woman of worth. Lord, you have made us worthy. We thank you for your great love, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.